for the opportunity to share here tonight. I guess my wife is not going to say anything tonight. I don't know. If she can get away with not saying anything, she'll do that. And she's real good at that. Amen. Amen. So we're glad to see each one of you all, man. Amen. A longtime friend, amen. Apostle Wilson, amen. I haven't seen her in a while, amen. She thought she surprised me, and she did.
Amen.
Amen. I was a few days ago, I was, and I don't have a handout for everybody, so just bear with me here. But I was thinking a few days ago, what can I say to us as a group of people? I had a young lady, when I sent out the notification to our church that we're going to be doing this, one of the single ladies texted me back, say, laugh out loud. And I texted her back. I say, you're welcome to come too. Because my thought process was, even though you're not married, you need to know how.
That's right.
To be married.
Amen.
And because this is about not only about ensuring that you're married and stay married, it's positioning you so you can be married.
Yes.
So it's more than marriage ministry than just talking to married people.
Amen.
Anyway, somebody asked us a few days ago, Lady Brenda and I, in our neighborhood, we was getting ready to leave home. And I saw a neighbor of ours, a half a block or so away from my house. I say, instead of going out the driveway the way we were getting ready to go, let's go back the other way and speak to this neighbor. And we went by there, and she had a friend of hers in the yard. And as we were greeting them, the lady asked us, how long y'all been married? And so my wife went on to tell us that we've been married 20 years. But my husband been married 37 years. And we say that because some of you know that my first wife passed away after we had been married 17 years. So I don't discount those 17 years. I was married 17 years. And I didn't divorce her. So technically, I was married, and then I remarried. Hello, somebody. And I stayed married all these years. And so the lady wanted to know, what's the secret? And I said, there's no secret. Put God first. There's no secret. If you put God first, what's the secret about putting God first? There's not first. That should be automatic, right? So you put God first and have determination that I'm going to be married.
Right.
Is that a secret?
No.
No. So the premise of my teaching tonight is to set the goal for a successful marriage. And so here we establish goals for important things we wish to obtain in life. We do that. It's automatic to set goals for in life, such as careers. You ready? You want to set a goal for a particular career and what you want to do in that area? You set goals for that. Am I right about that?
Amen.
You set goals for education.
Yes.
Some people are satisfied just getting a high school diploma. And other people say, I know that's not going to get it. I've got to get 4 degrees.
Right.
Some people say, I know I'm in school for 6 years. And you already set that goal that I'm going to achieve this because it's important to me. Goals are set because the objective in that goal is important to you. You set goals for your family. Some of us say, well, I don't want to start a family until after I'm married, hopefully. And then once we get married, I don't want to start a family right away. I want to wait till I have some stability before I have family. We ought to set goals now. We set goals to have a stronger prayer life. You know, it don't happen by osmosis.
Right.
You don't have a strong prayer life just because you just got up and said, I'm going to pray. Like Perkins said earlier, pray for my wife. Bless my wife in Jesus' name. No, we pray for every area, everything the Holy Spirit brings to your mind to pray concerning. So you have to set a goal. I'm going to get up in the morning at a certain time to pray. I'm going to pray for a length of time. I'm going to set this time aside to talk to God. That's a goal, to have a strong prayer life. I thought about if you're going to have a healthy life, a healthier lifestyle, you got to set a goal. I got to stop eating certain things. So we set goals for things that we consider as being important.
That's right. Yes.
So let me put this out there while I'm here. Not too many people go into a marriage thinking this isn't going to work.
That's right.
I mean, you don't show up at the altar ready to give your hand and take your hand in marriage and think right off the top, this isn't going to work. I don't. Not the average person don't show up to the altar saying it's a failure.
Why?
Huh? This will never be successful. Who shows up at a marriage and say, I know we're going to get a divorce soon. Okay, I give it 6 months to a year. If you're going to be successful, you can't go in thinking I'm a failure before I get started.
Right.
If we could ask, you know, couples who have been married for an extended period of time, you know, 40, 50, 60 years or more, you know, their secret or insight for a successful marriage. If we ask these people, what are your secrets for a successful marriage? They probably all have similar stories, you know, and they probably have the same level of commitments. A long marriage, the commitment is to have a long marriage. How?
Right.
Until death does us part.
Right.
One of the things I thought about is that we have to shut the exit. If you're going to be married, you go in the door, and when you walk through the door, you got to be sure you have no exit. They're having one way in without any open doors or windows to get out or escape.
Wow.
When I'm going to be married, I'm in it for the duration. That means I don't go in there with an exit in my view.
Yeah.
I don't go in looking for the door. You know, when you get on a plane and one of the first things they tell you, be sure you count the rows and see where the exit is. Anybody in beside me? You want to know, they got three exits in this plane, two on there and one back here. I'm going to know where all of them are. When I go to the hotel, I want to know where the exits are. Because if the smoke fills up in the room and I have to make my way out, I know it's back out the door, back this way, a few doors down. I can feel the doors if I can't do nothing there. And I know I'm close to that exit. Y'all in here? So when you get married, you don't go in there looking for the exit. In fact, you ought to lock the exit, burn the exit, put dogs in front of it, barbed wire, whatever, and say, this door is not to be used. In your mind, you ought to have tape all across that door. Caution tape. Beware. Do not exit. Emergencies, impossible. You can't get out of the door. There's no way out. Am I making sense yet?
Yeah.
So when you think about setting a goal for a successful marriage, your first goal ought to be that I'm intending to stay married.
That's good.
Pin that. Put that on the wall. I'm going to be married. No exit, no escape. I said escape, but the better word would be abandon.
Right.
Dictionary.com says to abandon means to leave completely and finally. So when you come in the door, say, you know what? This is not working. Where's the exit? I'm abandoning this marriage. I made a bad decision. This is not going to work for me, and I'm getting out of it. How many people end their marriage because they didn't lock the exit?
Yes.
They didn't seal. Come on, in your mind, you walked in the room and the room has doors and windows beside the door you came in. The first thing you do is get you some drywall and cover the windows and doors. In fact, you ought to cover the one you came in to.
Yeah.
So now you just got one big square box.
You and
y'all gonna run each other crazy, but you ain't running out. I ain't gonna get no help in here. So you abandon. It also means to withdraw from. The average person, your marriage is dissolved because you feel separated. You feel no longer a part of this person. When you counsel the average couple, they say, we don't feel connected any longer. Have anybody ever heard that, ever felt like that? There's a disconnect in our marriage.
Yes.
He doesn't feel the same way he used to feel. How you know how he feel? Well, she doesn't feel the same way she's feeling. How do you know how she feel? When was the last time y'all really had a real good conversation about it? Don't need to read scripture. I do have one. I thought about it, and one of the other things it says, when you think about abandonment, it is to cast away, to leave, or desert as property or a child for our discussion, a spouse, your husband, or wife. I'm abandoning that gal, that man. I'm out of here. I'm through with you. Bye. Hope you make it. If you don't, not my problem. That's how we abandon folks.
Right.
You know, you come home from work and all the stuff gone. You know, wake up in the morning and there's a note on your pillow. That's abandonment. Sometimes, my family, we used to talk about going after, used to be a bread called Wonder Bread.
Yes, that's right.
And we used to say, if it gets too bad, I'm going to look for some Wonder Bread. I'm going to the store to look for Wonder Bread. You know what that means? I'm still wondering. And some marriages are like that. Folks got married, and then they wonder why they got married and start wondering.
Yeah.
Your mind started wandering, started drifting, and started doing different things. But you've got to set a goal for your marriage. Set a goal for your marriage. Something Jesus said, and I think we should add to our talk tonight, in Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 9. They questioned Jesus concerning divorce, and he answered them and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave. Did we say for this reason?
For this reason.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
Yes.
And they twine shall be one flesh. So they that are no more twine, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now see, we need to insert not husband, not wife, put asunder. He said not man. It wasn't restricted to just the people outside the doors of your marriage.
Yes.
It also means those of us in this enclosed door, block space that we're now residing in. We shouldn't put our marriage under. And like, well, here it says, for Moses gave them a letter of divorce for this reason. But he said, God never intended. We as believers ought to go with the heart of God.
Yes.
All right.
It's never his intentions for us to be apart once you put us together. Am I making sense yet? And so, but because we have been inundated with information, erroneous information, anything outside the word of God, it's not good. It's not authentic. It's not fail-proof either. We go with this stuff that we get from the world, which is not right information, and we put that into our marriage, in our relationship, and try to make it work, and it doesn't work. You can't mix God and world and come up with a perfect marriage. Here we go. So what should be our goal for a successful marriage? We already said this earlier. Let's go back to it. What should be our goal for a successful marriage? It's right here. until death.
Yeah.
If your marriage is going to be successful, your bar ought to be until death. Not until we get angry, because that was the bar we wouldn't be married a whole lot of time. you know, get angry and I'm going to my parents' house.
Yeah.
Woman, you can keep the house. I'm going to dad and mom. I'll see you next week if I see you at all. Man, I can't stay with you. I'm going to be my mama. Man, you can have the house. No. You might be angry, but you don't kick the wall in to make an exit. Because remember, we're now inside of a box without doors or windows. And in order to get out now, you got to get violent. And kick a wall in. Make your exit. I mean, come on. I'm going to get out of this bar right here. I got to get violent. If your marriage is boxed, there's no windows, there's no doors, you can't just, I want out and get out. No, you might contemplate it. You might think it. You might cry crocodile tears, but you're going to stay right there because there is no exit. Am I making sense tonight?
Yes.
The only way you're going to get an exit is that you have to violate your agreement and forget about your goal.
Wow.
Abandon your goal. The only way you can abandon your marriage is abandon your goal first. And your goal tonight is to be married until death. That's finality. That's the end of it. Once you die, it's over. Some folks never remarry once they've been married. And they sometimes for two reasons. One is the marriage was so good.
Yes.
Or it was so horrible, I don't want to try that again. but you have to stay married until, not until you're angry, not until you get hurt. Because you're going to get hurt. Anytime you're in a relationship, the other door. Anytime you're in a relationship, you're subject to experience pain and hurt out of the relationship.
Yes.
It's a given.
Yes.
Anytime you've got different chemistry and you're trying to gel, trying to become one, yes. Scripture says you're no longer two, but you're now one. That's work. And in work, you're running into difficulties that will create friction, pain, hurt. And in that, you can't just say, I'm abandoning my marriage now because I'm hurt. If you quit every relationship you ever have in life because you got hurt, you would never learn how to ride a bike.
No.
I mean, a whole lot of things you would not learn how to do because you got hurt. Some of us would stop cooking because I got burnt. Everybody ever put something in the skillet and the grease pop you? Like, ooh. Yeah. Hey, let's turn that off. We ain't cooking no more in life. I mean, that's what we do in our marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, the first little sign of hurt, discomfort, pain, mm-hmm. we want to turn off the flame. I quit. I ain't doing this no more.
Yes.
But it was just a bump in the road. It was just a little water got in your grease and it popped, dude. That's not permanent. I told our church some time ago, don't make a temporary situation become a permanent solution. Don't allow your temporary discomforts become a permanent solution. You're like, I'm through with it. But why? You spoke to me wrong. You woke up this morning, and my mom told me all my life that you're supposed to say good morning when you wake up. This man woke up this morning, didn't even say good morning to me. I'm his wife. He ought to say good morning. Well, his mom may have never told him that. So now you got to just get over it. And say good morning to him, and maybe eventually he'll catch on.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing all right tonight?
Yes, amen.
So you don't abandon your marriage because you got hurt. You don't abandon your marriage because you got angry. And here we go. And you certainly don't abandon your marriage because I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
How many things in life you've done even after you were tired? Think about it. I can't take this no more. I am tired. I am fed up. I can't go any further. No, you can't go any further. It's not accurate. You don't want to go any further. That's the truth. The truth is, there's more perseverance in you, but you're not willing to tap into it. Now, when I said earlier that you go into a marriage, you got to go into the door you came in, do a survey of the room. If it has windows and doors, the first thing you want to do is get you some drywall and cover up the windows and doors, including the one you came in. So now you're now living in a box with no exit. None. Can't get out. It's permanent. It's sealed. That's how serious your marriage ought to be. Because when people get married and look for exits, the devil gonna always give you an exit.
Amen. Yes, he will.
I don't get no help here tonight either, I can tell.
Yes,
somebody come by and say, I didn't see no window, so I just knock a hole in the wall because I was worried about you. I hadn't seen you in a while. What you been doing? I'm married. Well, you can't come outside no more? Yeah. So you got to lock yourself in. You with me?
That's right.
So I didn't say set goals for your marriage. I want you to set one goal for a successful marriage. Just one. Mm-hmm. One goal. One goal. One. Until death. Until death. When a goal has been set, the only thing you need to do now is shoot for it. Once it's been established, once the bar has been set, you know what you're striving for. And anything outside of that is not acceptable. Y'all still with me?
Yes, yes.
X marks the spot. Look, know your target. Don't sell it for anything less. You know, I envision a target. The target got all these rings around the center. The center's called a bullseye. And all the way around that bullseye, there are other circles around it, right?
Yes.
And if you ever go to target bragging or whatever, if you're throwing darts in the room or whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They got points on the outside that you can score.
Yeah.
But you're not really trying to get those points on the outside. You're trying to get the center.
Yes. Right.
And the center is a successful marriage. You always have to aim for the bullseye. So when you come home and something sets you off, you say, you know what? I'm still shooting at the bullseye. Am I still making sense?
Yes.
Hitting around it. This blessed me when it came to my heart. Hitting around the bullseye, it would create holes on the board. Yeah. And in marriage, just trying to have a successful marriage, you look around the bullseye, there might be holes in the wall trying to hit that thing. You with me?
Yeah.
I want you to envision that. You got the bullseye?
Yeah.
Successful marriage. Now look at around that boy. Look at all them holes in it. And you know, dismounted the board trying to hit that center.
Yeah.
But guess what? The center is still there.
Yes.
And your goal is still in front of you.
Yes.
Though the board has been damaged, though you've been hurt, though you've been angry, though you have gotten tired, but you're still shooting for the bullseye.
Amen.
Yeah. Just because the hole's around it, you don't stop shooting for the one goal until death. When we got married, the minister charged us with vows. And I got one here. Here we go. Sir, will you have this lady to be your wedded wife, to live according to the ordinance of God and in holy bonds of marriage? Will you pledge your faith to her from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live.
Yeah.
I mean, we all had something similar to that, yeah, if not that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. And go, madam, will you have this man to be your wedded husband? Now you should have, you I don't think you would stand there and then say, you know, this is not gonna work. Where's the exit? I'm making a bad decision here. Now some of you might have cold feet before you got there, but now that you're there, all they have now is tears and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
Like, man, look at this person. I'm really in love. Look at this person. Oh, I can't wait to say I do. None of y'all looking for the exit right there.
No.
But somewhere between then and after the honeymoon, you're like, where that exit? I know it was one here.
Yeah.
So it pretty much all say the same. Do you have this husband to be your man, be your husband, and you pledge your faith to him for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for comfort in him, honoring him, sickness and health, and forsaking all those, be faithful to him as long as you both. Did I say long?
Yeah.
As long as you both shall live.
Yes.
That's crucial right there.
Yes, it is.
That is the most important component to this vow.
Yes.
Because you're gonna have sickness.
Yes.
It's a given. You might be healthy today, but you might get a cold tomorrow.
Yeah.
In fact, you ain't gotta go. I wait till tomorrow. You might go home tonight and realize I got a cold. Wake up in the middle of the night and your throat itching or something. I mean, so sickness will occur. Difficulties will occur.
Yes.
And so no matter what comes, you got to see all those things as being just holes in the wall, hitting your, trying to get your target.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
I'm still hitting my target.
Yes.
You know, my wife and I, when we got married, I told her, I said, you know, I'm the head of my house, the master bedroom. I don't believe in sleeping on the couch. It says master bedroom for a reason. I ain't sleeping on no couch. We had that discussion up front. I said, you're welcome to stay in the bed too. But I ain't leaving my bed to go to no couch. Man up. So here we go. And I'm not going to none of my family's house because we got in an argument or something.
Amen.
We're just going to work it out.
Yes.
That means we sit on the edge of the bed, look at each other crazy until we figure out how we're going to say what we need to say, whatever. I ain't going nowhere. Hello? My mind made up. She the one. And when you get to that point, and can I tell you that no matter what has transpired, and I can put some stuff out there will knock y'all out of the water, but I'm going to say it like this. There's nothing that's transpired in our relationship, in our marriage relationship, that neither one of us have decided we want to go the other direction. You know how I can promise you that? We're still here.
Yeah.
And then she bought me a new ring.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I ain't doing too bad. 25 years, boy. 20 years, not 25, 20 years. I ain't doing bad here. Have I taken too much time, y'all? Do I need to cut this off?
It took me 20 years
again. Yeah, but baby, I got it now, though. It ain't going back either. I'm wearing mine.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm a marked man.
That's right,
Mark the man. Yeah. I'm not going to read my Bible lesson, but I got a Bible lesson here that we normally do when we're doing our vows and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I thought it was good, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that to y'all. See, is that where I want to end up at? I think I pretty much have covered what I want to talk about. And I think the most important thing is that we establish the fact that we put goals in place for everything that we consider being important. And if a long marriage is important to you, then your goal you need to set, just one goal. That's not hard. One goal is not hard, right?
Amen.
You give somebody one goal. Can I only gave you one goal. You can't do one goal. Be like, Jesus, can y'all pray with me 1 hour? One goal. And the one goal is I'm going to have a long marriage.
Yes.
And the way I'm going to have it is that my goal is until death. That means no matter what happens, if I've counseled people over the years, I've counseled both male and female in the areas of infidelity. I've counseled both of them. I've counseled one family where the woman went and got pregnant. And after the child, before the child was born, the lover tells her, I want my baby. I want to see my baby. So he's calling their house. Want to make sure they understand that's my baby and I want to see my baby. Now, I don't know about you all. Now, that's been, I don't know how many years back. That's been, I don't know, it's been some years back, maybe about 9 or 10 years, about 15 years ago that we had this situation, about 15, 16 years ago. And those people are still married today.
Praise God. That is good.
They're married today.
And they're not in our church.
They're not in our church. Okay. Okay. All right. And they're not in our church. But they're married today. They were members of our church at one time. But they are still married today. And I said to them, did you ever love that person? Did you ever love your husband or did you ever love your wife? And he said, yeah, but they did this. Well, because they did that, does that eradicate the love you had for them?
True. Sometimes.
So when you think about it, Jesus says that we gave you a letter of divorce because of the hardness of your heart.
That's right. That's right.
Now what transpired there, this man, they came to me and asked me about it, and I'm saying this for a reason. They came to me and said, Pastor, we need to talk to you. I had no clue that this was gonna be the discussion. I'm just going to meet with this couple and try to help them through their marriage problem, whatever. But when they laid that on me, I'm like, oh, my gracious, how do you deal with this? Okay. And so the husband told me what had happened. He told me the story of his wife stepping out and getting pregnant and coming back home, and now her lover won't. The baby. And I told him this. I said, technically, your wife's body belongs to you.
All right.
And so whatever is producing her body also belongs to you. You do what you want to do with it. Send the baby to him or raise it. It's up to you. Because that's your wife and her body belongs to you. The Bible says that your body is no longer yours.
That's right.
The man's body now belongs to his wife.
That's right.
And the wife's body now belongs to her husband.
That's right.
Y'all with me? And I said, so now even the law would say,
that's right,
this is your wife,
that's right,
and this baby belongs to her and you, because that's your wife.
That's right.
He don't have no grounds to stand on. Y'all need to tell him, stop calling your wife, stop harassing her, don't call my house no more. We're done with that. And then if he insists on it, take it to the law. Now, I don't know what they end up doing long term, but they still married. Little girl grown, in high school and whatever. Beautiful little girl. Look like they're happy and everything's well. It's a powerful thing if you can get beyond that. Can you imagine how strong their marriage is today?
Yes.
Because they got past that.
Yeah, that was, yes.
That was major.
Yes.
Some people would not have been able to survive that. But they got past that.
Yes.
And now when he look at his wife, if he don't allow the devil to mess with him, he'll look at her and say, this is my wife. I know she's committed to me. Know why? Because I've forgiven her. And who God has forgiven, love much.
That's right.
Wow.
Same thing with you. If you forgive somebody for whatever injury they're put upon you, inflicted you with, they'll love you with an undying love because you didn't have to forgive them.
That's right.
Am I making sense tonight?
Yes.
So if you're going to be married long term, let that be your goal. Until death.